So, that is a shout out to Chance in West Virginia. And I bet you Chance is, I hope he's listening. He's listening. He heard that song and said, he remembered I told him about that, the April Wine last week. Yes, Chance, I did. And I went back and listened. I only listened to this one song and I thought it was great. So I just wanted to give you a shout out there, buddy. All right, welcome to the name of my show? The Punch Bowl. I'm just kidding. The Punch Bowl with William Rapillum. And, kicking off Friday night. It's been a crap week, but whatever. I'm happy right now. And it's good to be here with you guys. And if you want to call in, 512-248-8252. I got a lot of stuff I want to get through here tonight. I collected a whole bunch of material here. I'm going to see him and come right out of the gates with some stuff. First, though, please do, guys, go to Republic Broadcasting, and I mean it big time right now. Please go right now to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate button. If you were listening last night, you heard the dilemma. We got like $300 in coffers. Mike's not getting paid. We're wondering if he can even pay Sam and Frank and Julie. So please, folks, do what you can. I know a lot of you just gave for Christmas and whatnot. But please, if you have the means, if you can make it happen, please do it, because the station really, really needs you right now in a real pinch. Okay? All right, so let me jump right into what I want to get into. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to talk about tonight was a couple things I found on Zero Hedge. I thought it was very telling. And so there's this article. Let's see, first one here is, it's called You Are the Problem, okay? Watch You Are the Problem. Conservative speaker slams Davos globalists to their faces. Okay, Kevin Roberts, president of the conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation, spoke to globalists at the World Economic Forum, CONFAP, Thursday, and told them directly that you are part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. So I'm going to play the video that I'm going to give you guys my quick analysis, and we'll move on. So let me just tell you briefly what he said. You can hear him say it. I will be candid, Roberts began, adding, the agenda that every single person, member of the future of the administration, future Republican, needs to have is to compile a list of everything that's ever been proposed at the WEF and object to all of them wholesale. Okay, that's good. Then he went on to say, it's laughable that you or anyone would describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. Okay, that's good. All right, yeah, that's fine. But I'm going to break down to you how this is controlled opposition and how we are getting, ready to, we're probably Trump's going to win, and that's going to get, I think what they want to do is they want to get a lot of people on the side of going to fight the war for Israel. So I'm going to kind of display how this sort of is laying out the groundwork for that here, this whole situation, this controlled opposition situation. So, Mike, if you don't mind playing this video, watch You Are the Problem. It's in that link there. All right.
Let me come to you, because it's quite good the way the jury set it up. What do you think, President Trump, he's the president from being the former president, but if there were a new President Trump, what does he mean by retribution? What is the issue calling out very specifically, a former attorney general and former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and so on? I mean, it sounds very personal. And you said yourself a minute ago, anyone who's kind of not with the program is not going to be in an administration. One thing that Davos, you might say, and the people come here stand up for is liberal democracy. So if the idea that's going to be swept under the table is part of the idea, hopefully that's not what he means. What do you mean? What do you think he means by retribution?
Well, it's laughable that you would, or anyone would, describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. It's equally,
standing up for it.
It's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. In fact, I think that's absurd. But I'm going to step aside from that constructive criticism and instead answer your question.
Yep.
And I'm going to be substantive here. President Trump, if he's the next president, for that matter, I think whoever the next conservative president is going to take on the power of the elites, which I mentioned earlier. But the thing that I want to drive home here, the very reason that I'm here at Davos, is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, but that you're part of the problem. Political elites tell the average people on three or four or five issues that the reality is X, when in fact reality is Y. Take immigration. Elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life. They're right. President Trump will take that on behalf of the average American. Elites also tell us that public safety isn't a problem in big American cities. Just travel to New York or Washington or Dallas, Texas. The average person will tell you that the lack of public safety damages not just the American way of life, but their life. President Trump will take that on. Thirdly, I guess the favorite at the World Economic Forum, is climate change. Elites tell us that we have this existential crisis with so-called climate change, so much so that climate alarmism is probably the greatest cause for mental health crisis in the world. The solutions the average person know based on climate change are far worse and more harmful and cost more human lives, especially in Europe during the time that you need heating, than do the problem and the problems themselves. Fourth, two more here, Robin. Okay. The fourth, China. The number one adversary, not just to the United States, but to free people on planet Earth. Not only do we at Davos not say that, we give the Chinese Communist Party a platform. Count on President Trump ending that nonsense. And fifth, as we sit here, another supranational organization, the World Health Organization, is discussing foisting gender ideology upon the global South. These are practices that are under review, if not being rejected, by countries in Northern Europe. The new president, especially if it's President Trump, will, as you like to say, trust the science. He will understand the basic biological reality of manhood and womanhood. And do you know why? Not because of retribution, not because he's a dictator, but because he has the power of the American people behind him. And it's connected to Senator Portman's excellent point that in addition to needing a vigorous executive, we look forward to having the popular will inform both the House and Senate in 2025 to pass laws on all of those issues and many others. Ultimately, Robin, I think President Trump, if in fact he wins a second term, is going to be inspired by the wise words of Javier Milei, who said that he was in power not to guide sheep, but to awaken lions. That's what the average American and the average free person on planet Earth wants out of leaders.
Very clear points, and that'll give a chance for everyone to come back, including on the Q&A and any particular issues they want to challenge. The one thing I will challenge, we can come back to it later on, Kevin, is what will be the mandate of the American people if, A, the mandate tends to be not a plurality of the vote.
If he wins the election, the mandate's clear.
Kevin keeps saying if he wins the election. Can I ask Kevin, is there any conceivable way in which if he loses the election, he will accept that he's lost the election, or whether you would accept that?
What was the last part?
Would you accept if he loses the election that he's lost the election, or would it be like last time?
If we're sure that there's election integrity, but I'm not sure that we can be.
I think you've answered my question there.
We're not going to get to the end of that one, so park that one for the moment. I want to first bring in Rob.
Okay. All right, that's the end of it. It's 5 minutes long, and a lot of stuff to chew on. But I think the overarching thing is it's like, okay, good. It sounds like he's making some bold statements. It sounds like he's breaking some ground at the World Economic Forum. Nobody's interrupting him. They let him finish his 5 points. So that is a little bit suspicious. However, I would expect that more there than I would at an open forum or a city council meeting. So, and his points were, the elites, tell us reality is X when it's actually Y. And he touches on these points, and China being one of them. Once he hit on China, it was like, okay, so here we go again. It's over. The problem's over in China. It's not right here at home. It's not the Zionist Jews starting wars or subverting the country from within, right? So, and that's the premise for the whole dialectic that has, it's the third rail of the whole thing that you can't even touch, but it's the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is this dialectic problem, this dialectical problem. But what I'm hearing here, sadly, is as much as I want to like this guy and saying all these things, is they're talking about issues that the Jewish establishment is like, yeah, this is what we want you talking about. We want you quibbling over, you know, gender ideology while we sit back and laugh and continue to push our central bank digital currency and all these other things, our war over in the Middle East, which never even got mentioned by this guy, right? So I can only assume that this guy is just probably, all for Israel and Zionism. And then he cited Javier Milei, right? Now, Javier Milei, that's the Argentinian president recently elected here December 2023. What was the first thing he did? He went up to up to New York to visit Rabbi Mendelssohn Menachem Schneerson's grave. Mendelssohn Schneerson say? I didn't get a chance to get the quote, but I've got the. Let me pull that up here. I'm going to grab it. I got so much to get through, so I'm going to try to not pause here. Let me see if I can grab it real quick. Other chats. Yeah, it was a Blackbird sent it over to me. And by the way, it's Martin Luther King week. Don't let me get my spiel on that, right? Okay, so here we go. Where is this Menachem Mendelssohn Schneerson meme? Man, it's deep. I can't believe it. It's way, 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 way down there. Okay, I give up. Can't find it. But he said something to the effect that, you know, the Goyim are, this said horrible. I don't remember exactly what it was, but something very derogatory about everybody. Everybody else is not Jewish. Dang it, I'm going to find it and get on the break. I was always frustrating. I had too many things I was trying to do here. So, So, I don't know. What do you guys think? So, climate change, public safety, immigration, obvious problems, all right, okay? Immigration probably being the most third rail of it, right? So, he's not afraid of being called a racist because he brings up immigration. Okay, good. And then climate change. I mean, there's another ridiculous thing, and he's right. There's a lot of people having mental breakdowns over this. What is that? What was that a few years ago? What was it called? The Extinction Rebellion? Yeah, Extinction Rebellion because of climate change. It's not, and that was before COVID, right? So they're running cover. They're going to blame it all on climate change. We all know this. So, but honestly, I think this is to siphon off opposition, and probably a Trump presidency would actually invigorate the lions, right? So what Javier Milei's quote was, not to guide sheep, but to awaken lions so they could do what? Go fight for Israel? Go fight a war for Israel, right? That's got to be what their play is here. All right, when Trump gets elected, all the conservatives are going to breathe a big sigh of relief, and then they're send their sons over to Israel to go die for Jews. Oh, they're just rubbing the hands together, right? If I were a Jew, I'd be rubbing my hands together over this. This is why it's like, man, so many. Countries, all they've done is shoo the Jews away, and then they always end up just coming back. When is it going to come to a point where they have nowhere left to go anymore, and they have to change, or that's it? Because the humanity cannot sustain this just worldwide genocide that the Jews have just been engaging in forever and ever and ever, their entire existence. Good news is the whole world has the ability to see it now. The bad news is Jews are controlling all of the social media. So I wanted to jump a little bit on the censorship stuff and look at the latest copy of the American Free Press that I have here. And let me see what I can get through before the break. If you want to call in, chime in here. 512-248-8252. So I wanted to just quickly mention one thing here is there's this article in the beginning called "The Kakistocracy Maneuvers America in Mortal Danger." And the Kakistocracy is there any doubt we live in a Kakistocracy? The dictionary defines a Kakistocracy, starts with a K, it's a government or society ruled by the least suitable, most incompetent and unscrupulous citizens of the state. That's exactly what's going on. So it had mentioned George Santos in here, right? He was brought up on corruption charges, recently lost his seat in New York, and now they're going to be replacing him with guess who? GOP taps Israeli for Congress. Okay, and it's a woman. And an Ethiopian Jew, former Israeli Defense Force soldier, Matzi Pilip, shown above, is running for Congress to take the seat of former Representative George Santos, Representative of New York, Republican of New York, who was expelled from the House by his fellow congressman on December 1st, despite being a registered Democrat running on the Republican ticket. Pilip has strong Republican support because of her Israeli military background. Pilip was born in Ethiopia and moved to Israel at the age of 12. Pilip served as the IDF's paratroopers brigade and later studied at the University of Haifa and Tel Aviv University. Special election to replace Santos will be held February 13th. Santos became only the sixth member of the House of Representatives and the first Republican expelled from Congress in its history. Well, interesting. Okay, so yeah, we've been conquered by Jews because we have them putting Israelis into positions of power in our, you know, in our state governments. Well, everywhere. It's not just there. All right, they completely control the White House. We all know that. So, and there's, I don't know how many hundreds of them in those positions there, but they're completely in charge of the highest ones, as we pointed out. April Haynes, Alejandro Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security, April Haynes, Director of National Intelligence, Merrick Garland, this disgusting Israel first anti-American. I mean, they're all like that, right? Meanwhile, we've got Janet Yellen pushing for yet another war and saying, oh, we have plenty of money for that. And Janet Yellen is a Jew as well. She's the she was the former Fed chairman. Now she's the she's the Treasury Secretary. All right. We got the Biden administration. He has hides the U.S. culpability and genocide from Congress and the American people. So this is an article here about that, and just giving away stockpiles of weapons over to Israel so that they can just continue to just indiscriminately bomb the Palestinian people and say that they're going after Hamas. And as we listened to last night in Jeremy's show, Senator Robert Menendez of New York as well was giving a long spiel telling us what it's okay to say and think about Israel. It was just the straining of his voice. And these are just extremely corrupt politicians. I mean, we're watching this corruption on a level that's just like, I mean, I can imagine, you know, because these people have no scruples. They don't think there's any spiritual consequence for perpetrating the things that they're perpetrating. I mean, how do they get into a space where they do this stuff? I guess they get them bent over a rail. They take them down to Epstein Island, or they threaten their families. But, you know, there's one article in here. When it comes to talking about Israel, free speech is dead in America today. Merrick Garland, who just mentioned, crusading to end anti-Semitism. Governor Ron DeSantis lauds his own efforts to forever end anti-Semitism, right? Okay, so Ron DeSantis and Javier Milei, okay, they're all dancing to the same tune. These are, you know, conservatives, so-called conservatives. All right, what's going to happen? I'm just, what do you guys think is going to happen when if a conservative gets elected? It's gonna be. I'm predicting that it's gonna be how they invigorate or how they are able to influence more young, brave white men to go fight in a Jew war, another one, and go die. And it just serves two purposes. Yeah, getting rid of more white people for the Jews and fighting the Jews' wars for them instead of them fighting their own wars. Which is kind of what they're doing right now, right? They're not liking having to do it. Fight their own war. Let's do what, like, Gene Simmons said, you know, of KISS. Did you ever catch that? The Family, what was the name of that show? The Family Values, or Gene Simmons just Family Values. I think this must have been 5 years ago I saw this. And he says to his daughter, they're coming out of the supermarket, and he says to his daughter, "Oh, no, 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 don't unload that from the basket. That's for the goyim, or that's the goy job. Oh, Gentiles." He goes, that's a job for Gentiles. So that's kind of funny, isn't it? Because we're talking about the music and Gene Simmons and KISS and everything. And I remember being a little kid, and I got a KISS towel because I thought they were so cool, right? And it was like, you know, but they look like friggin' demons, you know? They got hair, and they got these face painted, and it's like, they kind of look like Drag Queen Story Hour, what it looks like now, you know? So were they priming us up for Drag Queen Story Hour with KISS and Motley Crue? Sorry, Motley Crue. We were one of my favorite bands when I was a kid. But we got to examine how they've primed the pump with all of this. So anyway, and I remember being a little kid and being like, yeah, that's bad, you know, and bad is good. And I'm like four. Okay. So, let me read a little bit out of this. We got 5 minutes of the break. Mike, thank you for skipping the break, because I got a ton I want to get through here. And I do want to circle back to, before I move on too much here, there was actually one other thing I wanted to mention here. It was Yuval Harari. Okay, this is the main thing. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Let me go back to this, okay? Yuval Noah Harari, humans are hackable animals. Mike, would you play this quick little clip real quick? All right.
Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, they have this soul or spirit, and they have free will, and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. Free will, that's over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste, because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see, we have no chance. So let's do it.
Vaccine won't help us go to the test, of course.
The vaccine will help us, of course. It will make things, you know, more manageable.
Surveillance. People could look back in 100 years.
That's good enough. Yeah. So I just mainly want to get that out there. Well, Kevin Roberts, the the guy I just mentioned earlier, sorry, I forgot what state he's from, but he was a representative that went over to the World Economic Forum, and we just listened to him, you know, give a pushback against the World Economic Forum, but never once did he mention that one of their main guys, Yuval Noah Harari, saying humans are hackable animals. Why didn't he mention that? I don't understand why that wasn't in one of his points. So that's controlled opposition for you. That should have been the first thing he brought up, don't you think? Okay. All right, so all right, we can call this Chance in West Virginia. Chance, I'm glad you are listening, and welcome to the show.
Hawaiian, good band, huh? You know, I got all of their albums all on vinyl, dude, on vinyl.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the best sound.
Yep, good. I got all their albums on vinyl. Yuval Harari, the fudge packer, speaks. I'm telling you, man, what a creep. Now, bear with me. You know, I'm a little out of breath. Removing all those playpens all day out of my secret tunnel is hard work at my age. And picking up hundreds of pacifiers put a hurt on my lower back.
Oh, man.
Hey, man, did you hear the new one? Listen to this, William. NATO is thinking about going to war with Russia. Isn't that so? Now, doesn't that bake your blintzes and cook your knishes? I mean, this shit is so out of hand, man. They're playing with us. I don't know if you heard about that, NATO going to war with Russia.
Yeah, using Sweden. Right?
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. You can't hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes, I'm using Sweden, right? They're trying to, aren't they gearing Sweden up to go to war with?
I don't know, but it just goes to show you. I mean, Russia has 8 times the military power of NATO. I mean, these sons of bitches are suicidal. And you mentioned Gene Simmons. Did you know his real name was Chaim something? I can't remember his last name, Jewish name. You know, Kiswood, they were all Jews. Did you know that?
I didn't know they all were, but I knew Gene was.
Well, I don't know if he freely is, but the rest of them are.
You can't handle the truth.
Looks like we're up on the break.
You're listening to Republic right. Broadcasting.
Hang on, Chance.
Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name
name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Get some good music in because we skipped the break. So Yes called and said, please advertise our song Changes for us. So what were we gonna do except do that? So Chance,
excellent song, by the way, excellent pick. You know, you mentioned I laughed my ass off when you mentioned Gene Simmons, because I think I remember that Family Values show or whatever he had. You know, let me tell you about good old Gene Simmons. He played hide the salami with so many damn women. He's like known for that, you know. As a matter of fact, I even think he boinked Cher. Remember Cher?
Yeah.
This is Gene Simmons now. Kime, I think his real name is
Kime. Kime Witz. Yeah,
is
Chaim,
it? I don't know.
Like Chaim Weitzman.
Yeah, but he's a Jew. He's a stick and swinger. Yeah, and the whole band was, as far as I know.
Yeah. He's a bad one, yeah.
With the exception of Ace Frehley. And I think Ace Frehley was the most talented of the bunch, to be honest with you. But that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, man, you mentioned that, and I said, Family Values, come on now. Like I said, he played hide the salami with hundreds of women. You know what I mean?
Sure. So, well, you know, I pulled up his Wikipedia right here, and it says, you're right, it's Chaim Witz, okay, born August 25th, 49, American musician, also known by persona the Demon, bassist, co-lead singer of Hard Rock Kiss, co-founded blah, blah, blah. Okay, so Simmons was born as Chaim Witz, August 25th, 1949, Ramba Hospital, Haifa, Israel, Jewish refugees from Hungary. His mother, Florence Klein, was born and survived internment in Nazi concentration camps. Okay, do we have to say anything else? So now
yeah,
it's like,
really, now, really, you know, my favorite, be honest with you, we all got into that band to a certain, I'm 63, and they were popular when I was a teenager, right?
Right.
But I think Ace Frehley was the most talented. Remember that song, New York Groove? Back in the New York Groove? That was Ace Frehley. He went, when they went solo. But mm-hmm. I never really got into that band too much, man. I couldn't get into, you know, all the theatrics with the makeup and the demon shit, you know. It was too much for me. I like a good kick-ass band, you know what I mean? But, you know, when they go overboard and, you know, well, I guess that's neither here nor there neither. But I'm glad you played April Wine, man. You got to check out their other stuff. Like I told you, I got every album they made.
I will.
Every album they made, I got on vinyl.
That's great. And vinyl is the best sound. It really is the clearest, nicest sound. Yeah.
All right, so William, thank you for taking my call now.
Yeah, thanks, Chance. Yeah, this, you know, it was interesting. I didn't even really listen to the music when I was a little kid. I liked the towel that had the picture of Kiss on there because it was bad. And that was what, I don't know, somehow I got into things being bad, being good. And I don't, it was kind of funny, you know. That word, it was like, oh, that was real bad. Whatever. All right, so. all right, so I'm going to jump to the next call. We got Max in New York. Max, welcome.
You said Kiss. I had to call in.
What?
You there?
Max.
And, yes, you there?
Yeah, yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you a little bit.
How about now? You hear me better?
That's good. So,
okay.
I was talking to one of Elton John's managers like 12 years ago. And, he was connected all business, all that stuff. He was with Elton John when he said, like, they had piles of cocaine on the table, like piles. And we got talking about KISS, and you know what KISS stands for?
No, I didn't know it was an acronym.
Knights in Satan's Service.
Hmm.
It would make sense why he's the demon.
Oh, yeah. And he's making a Masonic symbol on his, he's doing the OK sign. Isn't that supposedly supposed to mean ironically, right? I think it probably doesn't mean that in the Masonic thing, but they say that that's what it's supposed to stand for, like white supremacy or something.
The OK says it's 666666.
Oh, it is a six.
Well, you got three
fingers.
And then you got the circle, right? So you got three fingers, that's like 666.
Yeah.
And he tried to patent the devil horn sign that Ronnie James Dio uses all the time. I'm the first one who used it. I'm like, I think that's gone back centuries, but, you know, he wanted to put a patent on the devil horn sign.
Sounds like a malignant narcissism.
Well, they all are. That's what I try to tell people about narcissism. And if you don't really understand narcissism, you're not going to understand the Jewish culture and personality. And I've gotten to the point with narcissism that narcissists feed on other narcissists and amplify each other's narcissism. That's why it's so difficult to get out. If you have a culture of narcissism, to basically play monkey in the middle with you. But they fit all the definitions and conditions of being a narcissist. They lie, you know, they have criminal ideologies, they feel entitled, they have no empathy, and you can't reason with these people. Mm-hmm. Like, how long have we been trying to say, you know, no Holocaust? But they got the tiger by the tail. They go, yeah, you're right. There was no Holocaust. Everyone would kill them. So they'll never admit it. You know what I'm saying? It's just...
Yeah.
But they're not... They fit all the identifications of a narcissist. I'm not using the right word. But
they're like black holes that get attracted to each other, and you're getting sucked into the person, and that's a form of narcissism, right? The narcissist is drawing you in, but they're like a black hole. Have you ever noticed that with a narcissist? I don't know if you ever got involved with a narcissist.
Well, you don't really get a return on.
You get sucked in.
You're not really getting anything from them. You not get, you know, other than if you're working with one, they might throw you a bone once in a while or something, but really they don't give. They're not a spiritually, emotionally, psychologically giving people. That's the other thing. You know, it's always there to serve their interest.
Right.
It's so narcissistic. I'm like, narcissism has been probably the hottest topic one of the hottest topics on YouTube for the last 10 years.
I know.
You know, and it's been around for 3,500 years at least. And nobody can identify it. I'm like, oh my God, everybody's a narcissist.
Well, they've look at what they've done. The cult of personality of the Jew has turned so many of us into narcissists as well, right? So it's like
Exactly. Yeah. One of you guys was saying, like, oh, I think the narcissist is like the woman blaming the guy for being the narcissist. And that might be true, but the guy might not be a narcissist. But she's a narcissist. They see this when the narcissist all of a sudden becomes the empath. And she's now, like, blaming her husband for whatever, and now he's the narcissist when he's not. But if the woman is the narcissist, blaming the man as a narcissist, very real. I've seen this all the time. Narcissist women, he's a narcissist. And I'm like, no, he's not. You're an a-hole. You know, so
yeah.
That works, you know, I'll say erroneously often, but no, I swear to God, it's a plague now.
Well, I'll say this: I think it takes two to tango, and there may be one who is more of a narcissist than the other. But
well, that's what I call the alpha and beta narcissist, and I've seen this like the women. They had a husband who was like. Like this one woman, Lisa Anderson, and she married this cop, but he was like a serial cheater, and he was having children with other women, and she had a bit of a narcissist because she only had to drop his name and like drag his name through the mud. I'm like, you know, you married the guy, you should have known this stuff. You know, I'm sorry, ignorance isn't an excuse anymore for me. But they have us under mind control. I'm like, well, you let it. You're letting this in your head, and it's now controlling you. So here's this woman. She's all against a narcissist. And you know, a narcissist, you know, her husband, he didn't care about her. And that's what's driving this beta narcissist nuts. So she's dragging his name through the mud. But, you know, she's a narcissist, too. And she had to, like, write an editorial on it and stuff. Just like, you know, like, look, move on, lady. You know, you're like... You're keeping his narcissism alive instead of going, you know what, I'm warning everybody, I made this really big mistake, and I don't want you to make this mistake, too. I just want to let you guys know so I can move on with my life. Nope. You got to, you know, keep going on and on, got a book, and all that stuff. So, you know, there's the alpha narcissist and the beta narcissist. And, you know, the alpha narcissist, he may act like he's your friend or she's your friend, but they don't like you. They don't care if you ever... got up and went away. They have no emotional attachment, and it's creepy. And I swear to God, it's a sign of demon possession.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, Max, I got to move on. I got a couple other callers I got to get to. But thanks. Great call, man. Really great call.
Thanks for having me on. You have a good night, sir.
You too, bud. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Reb in Colorado. Reb, what's up? Okay. All right, JJ in Washington. JJ, how you doing?
Hello. Am I live?
Yeah, you're on.
Wow, for some reason, when I get, I called in before to another show, and when they pick up the thing, all of a sudden your voice gets like drops in half the decibels. You know, it's anyway. Thanks for playing.
Well, I've been having a little issues with my sound, and it was because my little microphone on my headset was away from my face, so I could take a drink of my tea. I moved it away, and then now I put it back up, and it's better, I think.
Yeah, well, you got rid of the room noise. You accomplished that, the echo,
yeah.
You know, which is just room noise.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thanks for playing Trevor Rabin. What a great guitar player. I didn't think anybody could outdo Steve Howe, but he sure filled the shoes, man, and took it to another level.
Is that from Yes, or was that April
that's,
Wine?
That's the guitar
okay, I forgot the names of the guys from Yes. Yeah,
Trevor Rabin.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, great guitar player. Another Canadian band, very noteworthy, is Triumph.
Mm-hmm.
And Strapping Young Lad. There's all kinds of them, man. And they're all pretty darn good.
I haven't heard of Strapping Young Lads, so I'll have to check them out.
Yeah, it's more on the heavy side. I forget the guy's name right now off the top of my head. He does solo stuff, too. Anyway, great guitar player and songwriter, musician. But, yeah, I wanted to talk to you specifically because you keep bringing up the communitarian word, and I've been talking to Lark, a few years, and then I just kind of got tired of it because, you know, he's really frustrating in his style of communication, in my view anyway. And the way I see it, you know, what Amitai Etzioni, you know, dead, now deceased, rotten hell, what he contributed to the world is changing the term Talmudic color of law to nice, fuzzy, feely-good communitarianism. That's basically what it is. And if you look up Aki Communitaire, which I did years ago, and for some reason the definition disappeared, but, you know, that's what the EU has been operating under for ever since it existed. In fact, a few years ago, the definition literally said law that morphs with the needs of the community. Tell me that's not what's going on. And that's what Talmudic color of law is. You know, several presidents have had, you know, a whole panel of Jews in there and passed these Noahide things and, you know, all the way back to HW. And you know, they've been pushing this stuff down our throats or up our, you know, the other end, whichever way you want to look at it. But for years, you know, and it's here. In 92, at the Rio Earth Summit, they send delegates all over the world informing whoever wants to be a career politician what the new form of governance, not government, governance is going to be. And you know, when it comes to communitarianism, it's not government anymore. It's governance with the board of elected officials. No, not much difference than the you know.
I don't mean unelected?
Yeah, no, they're just appointed, and all they do is manage. That's what governance means. It's management of the herd, if you will.
Right. Yeah, so it's good for us to understand this framework that is there and the language that they use, you know, in a legal setting so that we don't, you know, become disappointed when we don't get what we think we're supposed to get by participating in the legal system. So then there's the whole school of the people that are, you know, become nationals versus, you know, citizens. That's on my mind lately.
Yeah, you know? I think it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
All you need to do is live freely. You know, like I've said, when the COVID thing happened, I was running through the grocery store hollering, how do you know if the only way I know if freedom exists is if I live it daily. And then I know it exists because I'm living it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's it.
You don't adhere to these rules and these things. You know, there's somebody close to me put a Confederate flag up. And of course, the little police on next door come out and complain about it and, you know, draw a correlation that it was an affront to Martin Luther King. So,
right.
You You know, it's a, but this person says, look, I don't, I'm not going to listen to this unwritten rule or it's heading for law in order to, you know, make the Confederate flag illegal. But that should invigorate others. But I wonder if the person put the Confederate flag, but then put a Palestinian flag right underneath it. I've been thinking about that because that would be confusing to a lot of people, I think. Probably these liberals, right? There's a Confederate flag and a Palestinian flag underneath it. They'd be like, huh? Because they would expect you to put a Confederate flag and maybe even an Israeli flag or something, or something more, well, I don't know. I mean, probably in their eyes, because they're still in that dialectic, they would expect those two to go
right
hand in hand, right?
That's the big thing, is to get out of this dialectic by just living freedom, you know what I mean? And then we had the greatest opportunity in our lifetimes to show the world what freedom looks like when this whole COVID thing happened, if everybody would have just said, screw you and your mask. It doesn't help me. It causes hypoxia. What's wrong with you people? You know, we could have showed the world, hey, this is what freedom looks like. Look, we're going to take your recommendations and stuff them where the sun don't shine. You know, that's freedom. I'm going to make choices for myself.
Right.
But here, another good example of this communitarian thing is the HOA, and see how sneaky they are with that? They're shoving it right up where the sun don't shine, and everybody's going along with it. I heard on one real estate channel that they said over half the country already is in these HOAs. Well, what's an HOA? It's a place where you agree that you're going to be subject to whatever the board dictates.
Right.
The board is, you know, whoever is, you know, probably wants attention, and you know, look, I'm important, and they're going to tell you, no, you can't paint your color that, your house that color. You can't plant that bush there. Even if you paid over $1 million for the property, and you have several hundred dollar a month dues. You know?
Oh, right. Yeah, you have to pay so that you can, you know, some people like it. There's certain benefits to it, you know, you people don't leave their like jalopy car in the front yard for 5 years or 20 years
no,
or whatever.
You can't do any of that. Is that free? Is that living freedom? That's the question. And that's the perfect communitarian model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you need to, you need an HOA for the neighborhood to be you know, pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. And just basically be what you want, I guess.
Right. You know, you're supposed to be able to make your own decisions and live your own life how you see fit. You know, that's freedom. What the heck is all this other stuff? But anyway, William, I wanted to get your number, too. Hopefully, I'll leave mine with the board op, or he has my Skype thing. And I did send you a little clip to play for music thing. It's by Libomaniacs, which was Bootsy Collins' band back in there. But there's a little clip in there, which kind of ripped off a movie thing. I forget. The guy who says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. But it's like in
the
music. Yeah, yeah, but it's in the music, and I thought it'd be perfect for a buffer music, you know?
Okay, I'll check it out.
For somebody like you especially, because you seem more, you know, into that kind of thing. And I've been a musician my whole life, too. I graduated high school with 100% music scholarship, and so I didn't have a choice. I went for it. But,
okay. What did you do with it?
It's always been on the sideline. I pursued financial independence first and foremost. I'm also a master painter, second generation master painter, and house painting, you know, faux painting, wallpapering, all the whatever trades work. And I also am a cactus grower. I've had the largest cactus collection in the Northwest for a while, until I got Crohn's disease and had to reinvent my life. But anyway, I'd love to talk to you off-air sometime, so I'll leave my number with the board op, and hopefully we can have a chat sometime, man.
I'll leave your email, too.
Okay, I can do that. Whatever you like.
Yeah, yeah, do that. And sure, man. Yeah.
And my Skype is on there, too. And anybody else who wants to get a hold of me is JJ Zapp on Skype. Or,
yeah. You're up in Washington.
Yes. Yeah. And I know Brian and Jenna. I know lots of people up here. I haven't met Dan yet. I'd like to reach out and meet him since he's up here.
All right. But, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, kind of, you know, that's how life works. You network and you make things happen. As my friend Scott Fisher, Mountain Madness, who's permanently on ever since 96, said, he always used to say our mantra was make it happen. And that's, you know,
he died on Everest. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the what the movie was made about, the 96th expedition with him and Rob Hall, Adventure Consultants and Mountain Madness were the two main teams.
Uh-huh.
Got caught in that storm.
Oh, okay. I vaguely remember this.
Yeah, but anyway.
All right, thanks, JJ. We're at the end of the show.
Good to talk to you, William. I've been trying to get in touch with you, man.
Right on. All right, JJ. Cool. Yeah, thank you, too. Talk to you later. We'll talk to everybody later. Have a great weekend, you guys. Get out. I'm telling you now. You get my dread. What could be greater than this?
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.